May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We have just heard three very compelling readings, and if I were to give an overall title, it would be The Redemptive Power of God. If we take our first reading, Isaiah, which was written at the time when the Jews were in exile in Babylon, they were in a desperate situation. They were living amongst people with a different language, different culture, a different religion. But Isaiah has very good news for them. For just as God has showed his redemptive power by bringing the Jews out of slavery in Egypt, even parting the Red Sea, so he is going to show his redemptive power by delivering the Jews out of captivity in Babylon. And it will be like a new exodus. For as Isaiah says, God will make a new path in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to his people, his chosen people, whom he has formed that they may proclaim his praise. So the people can look forward to a transformed life and a new relationship with God. And our gospel reading also looks forward to God's redemptive act through the death of Jesus, which is foreshadowed in the reading. And the reading's full of drama and emotion. We can almost feel the tension, the apprehension of Jesus as he's getting near to the time of his death. We can witness the overflowing love of Mary as she pours that precious ointment over his feet in anticipation of his burial. The hostility of Judas as he attacks Mary for what, in his opinion, is such waste. The embarrassment of Lazarus and Martha, who thought they were offering just ordinary hospitality. But Mary takes center stage. But behind all this drama is the reality of Jesus' death. And even Mary knows that he's going to die. And the meaning of his death. And Paul, in his letter, interprets the meaning of Jesus' death, not only for himself, but for his readers, many of whom were Jews, because he has to count everything that's been at the heart of his life, his Jewish faith, his strict observance of the law. He has to count that as nothing, as loss. Because righteousness comes not through observance of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So here we have another aspect of God's redemption. So, what can we learn from these passages? I'd like to share three thoughts. The first is that as we come towards the time of Good Friday, that we do focus on the sufferings of Jesus and on the meaning and the implications of his death. Now, during the next couple of weeks, we'll be listening to accounts leading up to Good Friday. And I think it's very important that we should be almost like participants in those events. We should be involved. We should take a stance and respond. For example, on Palm Sunday, we should be aware of the crowd who are ambivalent because they welcome Jesus as a great prophet, maybe even as the Son of God. And yet, on the morning of Good Friday, many of them turn against Jesus and ask for the release of Barabbas. We should be aware of the hostility of the Jewish leaders when Jesus criticizes them for the corruption of the temple, their hypocrisy over the question of paying taxes to Caesar, their manipulation of Judas as they try to arrest Jesus away from the crowd, the manipulation of the Roman authorities, especially Pilate, who they try to blackmail to ensure Jesus' death. And as we approach Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, we should be aware of the agony that Jesus went through, not only on the cross, but his sense of rejection, that it was sin that led to his death, and sadly, that includes our sin. But if we do become involved in these events, as we listen to them, then when it comes to Easter Day, when we think and concentrate and focus very much on the resurrection of Jesus, that will become an even more special day. Secondly, as I looked at the passages, two of them in particular seem to focus on the concept of love. And we need to be outward looking in our love and care and compassion towards other people. God shows his love to those who are in exile in Babylon by promising to deliver them from their captivity. Jesus shows his love by being prepared to die for the redemption of mankind. Mary shows her love not only by giving up that very precious ointment, by being able to show Jesus that she understands the ordeal that he is going to go through. I may have mentioned before, but the Greek New Testament word for love is a very strong word. It's all-encompassing love, sacrificial love, self-giving love. And of course, the more that we follow the example of Jesus and his teaching, the more that we can show his love to other people. But Mother Teresa gives some very practical advice. She starts by saying, show Christ's love to everyone wherever you go, and if anyone comes to you, make sure that they do not leave feeling happier and more content. And then she goes on to say, be the living expression of God's kindness to everyone. Kindness in your face, kindness in your eyes, kindness in your smile, kindness in your warm welcome. In other words, kindness in your whole disposition. And then she goes on to point out that everything that we do for other people, we're actually doing for Christ. She says, I see God in every living person. And when I wash the feet of the leper, it is as if I'm nursing the Lord himself. And that is a beautiful experience. And perhaps from this we can learn how important it is to be outward going in our love and care for other people. But also, if we do show kindness, even if it means sacrifice of time and energy, we should do it with a great sense of joy and fulfillment as we're doing it for Christ. Thirdly and lastly, the most precious thing in our life is our Christian faith and our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And particularly at this time, as we head towards Good Friday and Easter Day, it's very important that we respond in our lives. And I just wonder if just sometimes we take our Christian faith for granted. But I do have this very deep conviction that Jesus' way of life and his teaching is the most perfect pattern for all mankind to follow, and we must respond. And we can respond by making sure that we give time to God each day in our personal prayer and in our Bible reading, just simply focusing God in our daily life. We can respond by showing our love and concern for other people and helping in a positive way in the community around us. We can show it in the way that we talk about our Christian faith to other people and how important our personal relationship with Christ is in our lives. I think we need to do all those things, because if Christians do, then Christ's kingdom can be established on earth and his redemptive power can be experienced by all people. But Christ has to work through us. And I'd like to end with some words to illustrate that from Teresa of Avila, who said, Christ has no body on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he sees compassion. Yours are the feet with which he goes about doing good. And yours are the hands with which he blesses men. Amen.